Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Basic Binges. We are back with another bomb show of a TV series, and I'm so excited to be here with my friends tonight. On this show, on Basic Binges, we review popular shows while eating and drinking our binge-worthy snacks and drinks. If you're watching live, don't forget to redeem those channel points. I know, Eric, you redeemed several of them, so we will be doing those throughout the evening tonight. So I'm very excited. I'm your host, Jordan Orozco, and right now I'm enjoying just a wonderful little nightcap, a little Mai Tai, a little Nuka Cola Mai Tai sponsored thing. It's really not. I just kind of made it up. But earlier I did eat some wonderful chicken Devon made by my mom. Love her. She's great. And it was delicious. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And it definitely fulfilled those wonderful vault hungry things going on here. But I want to introduce the most important people of the evening, my guests tonight, Mikey, Ren, and Yaya. It's so good to see you all. It's so good to have you on this journey for us. But let's start with Mikey. What's going on? What are you snacking on? What are you drinking?
Hey, how's it going? I'm just I ate a little earlier today, so I'm good. I'm just drinking on a little hard iced tea. It is in a Starbucks cup, but don't worry, they don't sell that there yet. So, but I filled it up with my own stuff. So, hey.
I wish they did. That'd be amazing. Just like walk up the street and be like, "Can I have a hard tea, please?" And they're like, "All right, here it is." But cheers to you. Moving on to our wonderful Ren. It's so good to see you. I don't think we've ever done a review show together. Have
No,
we?
I've been a little busy. I think I haven't been
Yeah.
able.
No, but it's good to see you. What are you chomping on? What are you drinking?
Okay, well, I'm Ren, and you might occasionally see Anakin. He has problems.
Hi.
I'm currently drinking, go away, some mango cold brew thingy from Coffee Bean.
That
And
sounds
I was
delicious.
napping, so I didn't eat anything. I have a muffin, though.
That sounds delicious, though. I didn't know they carried those at Coffee Bean, so I gotta definitely try those. And then last but not least, Yaya, what's going on? It's been a while since I've seen you. I know you've done several of these, but good to see you. What are you sipping on? What are you nomming on?
I am drinking a passion fruit and peach tea. Found it at raided a vault. Found one of these in their like things. Killed everyone in there. Just raided their foods. Raided their rations. We gotta survive the wasteland. We gotta survive the wasteland. Got some pork and some kimchi. And
Oh, that sounds good.
it's so good. And right now, this is like my weird comfort food. It looks like, but I swear it's not. It's white rice mixed with some soy sauce, some ponzu, and a raw egg. It's just been my comfort food. I know. We got, as I said, we gotta survive the wastelands.
No, that sounds so good. I'd eat that. I'd eat it.
So good.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you all. Today we are talking about the first three episodes of Fallout 1 through 3. Man, I don't know what I was expecting out of this entire series, but I was not disappointed at all. Like from the first episode on, it just, I'm not a seasoned veteran in Fallout. I haven't played the earlier iterations of it. But I do go on YouTube. I do look. I'm like, I want to see. A huge fan of Fallout 4. Haven't played any of the Fallout 76 or any of that. But when I heard that this was coming out, I was like, yes, I want to definitely be like in it, like watching it, doing it. And I think like on a personal note, one of my biggest fears in the entire world is nuclear war. And so like, having a game, having a series out like this, sort of just helps me to like cope with that. And it's like it's really cool to just see that. But getting into it, I definitely loved the entire aesthetic of Fallout. But before we talk about Fallout, I have to like definitely make a plug. Before we start, we're still fundraising for the Trevor Project. If you don't know what the Trevor Project is, it is a nonprofit organization that helps youth that are LGBTQ plus identified and oriented not commit suicide. And you can like call, you can definitely be resourced to them. They're a great organization. So please go to our profile page, donate to them. If you can volunteer, if they ever do any events in your area, they're an amazing group. So please definitely, absolutely 100% give them some of your time and or money and or both to do that. So let's get into this. So in the first episode, we meet our three characters for the entire series, right? We have Lucy, we have Maximus, and we have the ghoul who definitely is known as Cooper, in his previous life. And what I loved about the way that they set up all these characters is with Cooper, right? Because he is a ghoul, they set up his previous life before the bombs dropped. And I thought that was excellent, right? Like I thought that was excellent in the way that they introduced it. And with Lucy, we get sort of like with all the games, right? Like you're a vault dweller, you have to pick your skills, you have to pick your personality, you do all that stuff, and we get that introduction when we get Lucy, right? Like we get she's like, I'm incredible at gymnastics, I'm incredible at this, I'm incredible at that, which is what I love. And then with Maximus, we sort of get this idea behind all of these machines, right? Like that, like when you start playing the games, you sort of only hear about, you only sort of like get little whiffs of that, right? But we get introduced to the Brotherhood, right? We get introduced to basically a training camp, which is basically like the military of the wasteland, right? Who they used to be feared, they used to be all this stuff. And so we get this whole story, you know, strung about. We see how some of the vaults definitely get raided, right? Like after this whole thing. What I loved about it is I don't think, you know, us as sort of like fans, we get introduced to the fact that something fishy is going on within the vaults and we don't know what it is, right? We don't know what's going on. Those of us that have played the games know that the vaults were all experiments, right? Like, except for like maybe three of them, they were all experiments on basically humans, humanity, how we can evolve and do all that stuff. Let's talk about these early on iterations of these themes of like raiders coming in. These themes of like we have this overhead of this like rebellion movement, right? Which is Moldaver, is that her name? Yeah, Moldaver. Yeah, right. Like we get this sort of sense that like there's something going on outside of this, like outside of this sort of world that was created, right? And then we get a sense that like all this stuff is happening outside of the vaults, right? Like on the surface in the wasteland, right? Let's go to you, Yaya, first. What did you think about these introductions of these characters? What did you think about these themes? What were your first initial thoughts?
I love how it does begin with like that bomb drop, because if you played Fallout 4, that's
Yeah.
exactly how Fallout 4 starts, with Nora and running to the vaults with like Sean and that stuff. So I love how it does bring like this thing. Also, it creates a universe. It's supposed to, like, you can feel the foreboding because you have like the mom turning off the TV, like, oh, it's all ha today's a happy day. We don't talk about it. It's happy, but it's not. You know something is wrong. And then and with Lucy, I love how like the introduction of her skills, because again, I'm gonna like be talking about the games a lot. I love the games. I adore the games. I have my husband. 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 I love, okay, heads up, I love ghouls. Okay.
Love that.
But like with Lucy, her introduction of all of her skills, it's exactly how you start when you play a character. You click which stats you want to, like, increase, like your intelligence, your charisma, and all that stuff. And I love that. I love how they bring that to life in a very semi-realistic way, in like, of how we will see it. It's like, it's not just like, oh, character stats. It's like, oh, this is stuff that she does and stuff. And it's why, and I love how it does explain why later on she's good at fighting. Because sometimes, with these characters, you're like, oh, why are they suddenly so good at something that you never think they will be good at? But this explains it very well. And it pays a really good foundation for them. And with the Brotherhood of Steel, definitely. Like, I hate the Brotherhood of Steel, and I like, but I love that the introduction of it's like, it's not all perfect, because if you play the games, like, it makes it seem like everyone's like, oh yeah, like, everyone's like, we're all like family and stuff, but it's not. Like, Maximus was getting his butt kicked in the very beginning. And I love how it does humanize a lot of these like characters that wouldn't, like NPCs that wouldn't have been like so fleshed out in games. So I love the introduction. It's so beautiful. It is so like well done, how it can integrate it into a drama, but also take aspects of the game into it, and it melts very well for me, at least.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think it gave us what we wanted as fans, but it also gave people that maybe are not as well versed in the Fallout universe, right? Like what they needed in order for them to digest this series. So I definitely agree with you. Mikey, what did you think about the first iterations of this of Fallout?
So I only played the games like a little bit. I haven't played them all the way through and stuff. So I think I knew I had a basic understanding of what this was about. I understood the setting. I understood the how the characters are, like, the different types of characters there are, the ghoul, the vault dweller and everything like that. So I knew that, but I thought that they set it up perfectly for people that are not that they don't have any idea of what's going on, because you understand right away the class system basically. From each, like, understand how the vault dwellers are very privileged, and they're very separated from like the the wasteland dwellers, who like who are like the lower, what they consider lower than them and stuff like that. So you understand that with the raid happening, you understand like how dangerous the world is right away. You understand why there is a brotherhood too, and you understand that there's something going on with them that's not so up and up. So like you understand that, and then you understand the idea of the ghouls and where they came from. And also I like the idea of like showing what his life was before, because then you start to understand that, like, well, we're going to spend a lot of time with this character. Why should we even care about this character? And you understand, like, oh, this guy was trying to do something in the regular world. The world went to shit, and then he's like, he did the best that he could, and then he got turned into a ghoul. And so now, it's kind of like it's up in the air. Like, do you want to feel for him, or do you want to like, hate him? Do you want to like play into the whole, like, well, he was a good person, but then something bad happened to him, or is like, well, after all these years, he's just a product of his environment. He's just tough because the world is tough, So, I thought it was a great way to set things up. Introduction of the characters is perfect, and if you're just coming to it fresh, then I think you got a good understanding of it. So yeah.
I think the way that they introduced everybody was good. I think, once we start to talk about, episodes moving forward, like the character development is very different for all of them. But you're right. I think what I liked about Cooper's storyline is the fact that it gave context to like what's going on in general, right? And why he's so inhuman now, right? And I think it's really good. I think it's also really important to point out Lucy's father gets taken, right? Like, and that's the emphasis of Lucy's journey throughout this entire series. And then once we get toward to the end, in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about like what that looks like and how things, are being exposed. So let's go to you, Ren. What did you think, like first impressions of Fallout, and the first episode that you saw?
Well, so I'm not fully versed in the games. I'm in the middle. I played, but I never got deeply into it. So I liked how, like you mentioned, it's set up to help like people who don't really know the games to understand and get into it. Like they split you up. Like you meet Lucy, you meet Maximus, and you meet our ghoul. And each one, you get to see the pieces and their environment. And then slowly as the episodes come, like continue, you see them all intertwine. I did, for me actually, like the first few episodes for Cooper, I found him actually the most kind of human of them. Because Lucy is so, she's so naive. She's not in a like in an almost like are you okay kind of
It's
way.
like a Disney princess kind of way.
Yeah, I mean she kind of sees that she has to do things and she doesn't like it, she'll begrudgingly do it, but she's so naive and so sheltered that it's almost like it's fake. And then Maximus is in a cult basically, and people in cults, well,
Understand that.
oops, sorry, that was Bixby. It gives that other like disconnect, because that in itself it's its own culture, its own rules, its own setting. And then you have Cooper, who dealt with the world before, ended up being a ghoul. And like you can say he's evil or whatever, but like really, I don't think he is. He's just dealing what he has to deal with. And like what would happen to a normal human going through what Cooper has gone through? And in my opinion, his turns out to be the most understandable, almost.
Like most relatable.
Yeah. Like
Yeah.
he's, for me, he's the most relatable character. I did like that you start, like, I think it's Fallout 3 where you start out that you have to go find your dad. So the dad being snatched, I'm like, I see what you did there. And then for Cooper, how you got to see a little bit before, that's like kind of to me like a nod to Fallout 4 because you also start a little bit before the bomb drops.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, shit happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like of the three, they kind of to me it's like a three different versions of what you can see a person go through in this very tough times.
Yeah, I think for Cooper, for me, I didn't necessarily hate the character. I just got annoyed a couple times, right? Like, but you're right, you're right. Like in episode three, when he has Lucy as a prisoner and they like go to the lakeside and they're like, Lucy by, and then all the, and I was like, oh my God, come on, like she's a fucking vault dweller. But he knew where she came from and he knew all of that context before any of this. And then I had to like reel myself in and be like, oh, he understands what's going on. Like the overarching context of why the vaults were invented, why what's going on. And I'm like, I get it. Like I 100% get the way that he is, but he's also just a general badass. I'm like, you don't give a shit. Like you will shoot kids. Love it. Well, I mean, not, in that context,
Respect it.
right. Like
Understandable.
in that context, because kids will shoot you and they won't give a shit because it's all about survival. It's all about that. And
Yeah,
so
he's
you're right. I
built to
agree.
survive
Like,
the world.
yeah. And
It's the harshness.
yeah, but I think it's the, not earned harshness, but it's the necessary evil that needs to be done in order for him to survive, right?
Agreed.
And we get sort of that bigger context towards the end of the series, which I agree. Let's go into, okay, so what I did like, obviously, in the first episode is the representation from all aspects of the diversity and equity inclusion like thing, right? Like we get like a trans person that's in the freaking Brotherhood. Like love her. She was also in a fucking oh god, it was on Amazon too.
He goes by they them. He was on a Wheel of Time.
Thank you, Wheel of Time, which I loved. And I love that representation. We just get so many things that are going on, and I absolutely love it. Moving on into episode two, we open with the doctor that is working on experimenting with animals, right? Which is definitely a nod to the Fallout 4
The
dog,
Institute.
you
Dog
we get
meat.
it. Yes, dog meat, all of that. We get that. And ultimately we see sort of the first iterations of a corporation that is not as savvy and good as they say they are, right? Like we get people within the corporation that want to sort of sabotage it for multiple reasons, right? We get Lucy, who eventually escapes the vault, right? Like she escapes, she wants to go rescue her dad, and she gets exposed. What I love about this is that like at the end of episode one, you can clearly see that that's Santa Monica, right? Like there's a vault in Santa Monica, and I loved that. I was like, so me and my dad were watching this, and he was like, that looks like a Santa Monica pier. I was like, Dad, that's Santa Monica pier. Like that's what it is. And so I love it. I love it. So we get sort of these themes. Maximus ends up getting by default appointed to a knight who is in the power armor. And ends up being a complete asshole in the end, right? Which the fact that it was played by Mark Rappaport is amazing, because he's a comedian. He's fucking also an asshole, just awesome and amazing. And then we get sort of the ghoul who was awoken and then now is on a journey to find said family, as we see in the end. I definitely loved episode two. I think it delved into more of what's going on. I think there was character development when it came to Lucy specifically, because Lucy's, like you said, Ren, very naive, doesn't know what's going on,
Bless
doesn't know
her.
how the, yeah, right, like doesn't know how the world works. I will say Lucy is my favorite character development in the entire series. I will say that. I feel like Kook sort of like stayed the same. I feel like Maximus, they're
I feel
like
like
they're.
if we get season two, I think that's gonna be Coop season.
I do too. I do
Oh,
too.
that'd be great. That'd be great.
Oh my God, say less, please.
Yeah, but I feel like this was Lucy's season. Like
Yes,
she
yes.
definitely came into herself by the end, but in this episode, it was more of like, oh, I like I want to know what's going on. What I loved about it is these characters stayed sort of like to their characters in the game, right? Like she was a vault dweller. She was like, hey, what's going on? Hey, this is great. Oh my God. And I loved it because it's just like I just that's what you expect of vault dwellers, right? But as we continued sort of through this episode, things get darker, things get more tumultuous, things sort of like happen. We get more of Coop's story. And I loved it. I loved this episode. It was awesome. Let's start with you, Ren. What did you think about the themes going on in this episode? How did you think they related to the characters?
sorry, I'm recovering from bronchitis, so excuse me.
Oh
Like you mentioned for Lucy, I did like how she kind of leveled up slowly. Like that's how I felt, like she was slowly leveling up through her exposure of the world. But she was still in the center, Lucy. Which I like because sometimes when you do like characterization, when you're writing and stuff, you lose the core of the character. But Lucy was always Lucy. Like terrified, whoops, terrified, surprised, shocked, not wanting to do some really gross things, but she still ends up keeping true to herself, which I thought was pretty good considering like she faced so much and still just, she doesn't lose what she had in the vault. It was like this form of kindness that still existed. And then you put that against like Cooper or Maximus, the kindness isn't there. And like in a way for me, it was like Cooper almost bullied Lucy because like child, how are you so like this when you're being exposed to everything that's happening? I thought that was funny, but that's my opinion. Maximus was Maximus. I don't, it, his character was hard for me. I'm not gonna lie. It was really rough. I can't tell if he grew or didn't. Rather more than, it was more like we are exposed more to Maximus. Like, yeah, we got a little introduction of him, but in the first episode, I feel like it wasn't a lot. The second episode, it felt a lot more. Like, you see that clearly he has ambition. That's not, it's hinted in the first one, whether you see his frustration that he didn't get picked originally. But in the second episode, you see how far he's willing to go with that ambition. And I think it's more like less character development and more unlayering the character, showing like he, Despite his occasionally empty brain, he is willing to do what he needs to do. And for him, he doesn't see it as right or wrong. It's what he needs to do. I think we get to see like the themes and actions they take, each one. I think they just, in a way, gives you like more of a insight of what of who and what they are. I have no idea if that makes sense, but yeah.
No, yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think too, like to your point with Lucy, like the whole journey with her and the doctor, right? Because she, basically ends up camping out. The doctor ends up coming. The dog ends up killing a rat roach. And then they end up traveling together to this town, right? Like, and then I thought it was the funniest part when his like leg got chewed off and then like he had to get a fake leg. And
Oh
like
my
he's walking around with
God.
this like I'm like, oh my God. And then it's the episode where she has to fucking like saw his fucking head off because he's got this thing in his right. But I think we she's still you're right. Lucy still remains the same. And I will argue throughout this entire series, she still remains the same at her core, but there's things that force her to sort of open her eyes behind the naivety of everything to be like, oh, like this is the reality that I'm in. But like, even, I mean, I don't know if you've all seen all of them, but like, even in the last episode, and she was like, that's not how I was raised. I was like, she's still the same person. Like, she's still the same individual. And I love that. I think with Maximus, I think like, you're right. He's been conditioned to feel like he needs to take power in order to be somebody in the world. And we see that in the second episode, right? Like we see that. But then I think eventually in the latter episodes, when he meets Lucy, he sort of comes to terms with the fact that, like, no, like I can still be me, right? Like I can still be the person that I am, but without having to necessarily be as aggressive at stealing power as the Brotherhood is.
That's like, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go.
It's like metaphorically, when he wears the suit, he's someone else. When he's off the suit, that is Maximus. And he's normally like that. I think the most he is with Lucy. And like Lucy brings out who that person actually is with Cooper and with Maximus. And I think that's kind of like one of her qualities.
But I think with Maximus, me personally, I think was so forced. Like we were forced to like it's me, I really didn't like how like, that shift. Do you guys notice like every time like he just like he'll be there and he gets that look, he tilts his head down and does like that broody thing. And I'm like, I personally didn't like that. I was like, what's the point of that? And I understand it was like it shows like a duality kind of thing. It shows that conflict, but I was like, I feel a lot of his interactions and how I feel like we were like forced to be like, no, you need to like him. He is changing. He is like, kind of thing. And I was just kind of like, oh my God, can he just like, can he get shot? I'm sorry. No, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, I'm here. Bless you, but please, someone, life support, something. I don't know. This boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to you. What did you think about this second episode? What did you think about some of the general themes that were going on?
Honestly, like I love how like everything is progressing. I'm like, I love how like I don't know why this show has complete taken me like it has like surprised me. It has surprised me with how like it takes the crudeness of the wasteland and makes it funny because it is like that in the game. Like,
It
in the
is.
beginning, it's like I'm gonna go back to like episode one a little bit. It's like, where she makes the thing's like, oh yeah, it's okay to mess around with cousins. You just can't marry them. It's not good. And I did not expect that, but I am so happy they address it. Like when Monty gets naked, I was expecting Lucy to be that whole naive, like, oh no, oh no. She's just like, okie dokie, and she rides him. And I was like, girl, get it. And then like Maximus introduction, we get that weird like doctor thing. It's the weird witch doctor that really reminds me of Jack Sparrow.
Oh,
How, like,
Jesus.
our first interaction with him was the farmer's like, he was fucking
Chickens.
where is this series going? But I adore it because this is stuff that you see in the game, and I love how it brings out that funny. It actually, it's, I love how it's not like a lot of these things aren't glossed over because it's not our current society. It's very much a post-apocalyptic future. But with this too, like Wilzig the doctor really reminds me of Virgil from Fallout 4, the scientist that turns himself into a certain mutant. Really reminds me of that. Like, I still have a lot of questions of why he's doing things, and I feel like we didn't get a lot of answers to that. And I'm like, hopefully it gets addressed because I still don't understand his thinking, why he decided to do the thing and save the dog. And can I just say that scene where they threw the puppy into the furnace
Oh
toy?
my
Like, for
God.
real.
No, I was like,
That was tough.
I was like, oh my God. And it did the little yelpy thingy when it, like, you know what I'm saying?
Was like, please, why?
Yeah, I did love how, like, episode two is starting to, like, because episode one's definitely introduction. We're getting introduction to the world, we're getting introduction to character. Episode two's starting to flesh it out. Like, we're starting to, like, see more of it. We see Philly. We see all these weird, like, people. We see, like, I love, was it Ma June and Barv? Like, yeah,
They were great.
they were
They were hilarious.
amazing. They were, oh, I'm just, like, hoping they survive. I'm, like, I want to see them in season two. But I'm just, like, I love everything about it. We're getting more of this world. And now we're starting seeing character dynamics. We're seeing Coop. And then, like, we still don't see the correlation between Coop and the ghoul yet. But we will. But, like, you know, we still don't, like, we see, because, like, when he's Coop, he's, like, you know, like, very, like, suave, very, like, family man and that kind of stuff. So we, and you, it makes you question, like, oh, why is he like this now? And I just love him. I'm, like, I'm a book talk girly, so I'm, like, that dark character, like, I don't want to fix him. I want to make him worse kind of thing. But I'm, like,
We love
there,
it.
I know, right? There is some things, like, for me, I'm just, like, a little weirded out by, like, why are they establishing ghouls need to take, like, Rat away or whatever he's taking. But that's a later, I think that's a later on, like, probably next week's episode that I want to go into more. But I was like, there's little things that I'm kind of like, okay, I think they're adding a little bit into the universe that I'm not used to, that I haven't seen before. So I'm a little, like, hesitant. But other than that, I'm like, I love everything so far. I'm gonna continue ranting, so hand it off to Mikey.
I think what I appreciated about this whole entire thing is I'm on Fallout Talk, so like I like get some of the lore that comes in like when I'm scrolling TikTok. And what I love about it is like if you're accustomed to the lore, you know why things are happening. So like you said, right? When it's like, why do they have to constantly take an inhalant of rat away? And it's like, well, I know that because I like follow, I know the lore behind, because just playing the games, right? Like, if you play the main story, if you play some side quests, you don't know the entire universe of Fallout unless you like know what's going on. And you know that there are some ghouls like Coop who are just mutated on the outside, but they act like total normal human beings. And you get that in a playthrough if you do Fallout. You like meet ghouls.
You get that with John Hancock. You get that with Oswald the Outrageous in the Nuka World DLC. But then you have, like, the Nuka World DLC part where they actually, why hasn't Oswald gone feral? He's irradiated too. And I think in that light, in Oswald's quest, you actually get more ghoul lore because it seems like it's more of a mentality thing. If you don't think, if you're not worried about going feral, you have a less chance of going feral. But of course, there's, like, a lot of lore with that as well. So for me, I was, like, kind of a little hesitant on the introduction of the Rataway. But other than that, like,
No, I agree. I agree. Because Coop is kept in the grave with Rataway, right? And they're like, oh, and then like that's why his nose is gone, because the person that digs him up like once a year takes fucking pieces from him and all that stuff. Okay, I have to get to the comments. Eric, before we get to Maggie, Eric redeemed hydrate. So everybody, cheers. Take a sip of whatever you're having. And then we also have a stretch. So stretch. It's time for stretch because it's past the half hour. All
Also, they
right,
popped up.
Eric added, "You're so punny for Yaya. I miss Yaya," is what he said. So you have to come up with a pun after Mikey talks, and then Eric said, "Okay, sing in third person, LOL. You'll get me back another stream." Was he talking about me? I'm not singing in third person, bro. I mean, maybe I need to. Okay, maybe we'll do it after. Okay, so Mikey, what did you think about the second episode? What did you think about some of the general things that were going on? Oh, everyone sing in third person. Sorry, Mikey.
Oh, now? Oh, geez.
Yeah, Eric said everyone sing in third person.
Okay. Well, that messed me up right now. Basically, I liked how basically they made Maximus into they kind of showed how both Maximus and Lucy felt like they were prepared for the world, but they truly weren't because they came from different trainings and stuff like that, but they're both kind of they're both like cultists actually, because they believed a certain thing, and when they got to the real world they realized that it wasn't what they thought it would be. They were looked down on by people. Like instead of like a military being like righteous and justful and everything, the knights were assholes, and like Lucy thinking that like, oh, everybody will look at me as a Vaulty and think that I'm
Saving
like the
America.
savior. Yeah, I'm the paragon of all good virtue, and they look completely down on her. So they had to. Then what happened is they realize that they are ill-equipped for the world. When you and then the audience kind of realizes that maybe Cooper or Coop is actually the best equipped for the world because, he's lived so long and has suffered so much that in the wasteland, he is the heart. He's hardened and he's tougher and he can exist in this world. Where these two, there you realize that the story is that they have to accomplish what their goal is, but also adjust to the world, adjust to the teachings that they were taught, and to actually survive in the world, because they have skills, but they don't have the necessarily the right idea of how to do it, the mental toughness, but they have the physical skills. So I think it was very interesting how they decided to do this, and they. Sorry, I forgot to sing. And then how they ended up showing it through that big battle, like everything comes to a head in this the battle in the town, and you understand like, oh, so this is how the world is, and this is how they deal with the situation. They eat like, Maximus will go in headstrong and like because he thinks he's a knight and he's gonna be protecting people. Lucy's kind of like, we can figure this out. We can find us another solution, but like she realizes she has to get dirty. She has to do things that she doesn't want to do, like chop off the head of somebody or something, So I think that was a very interesting way to inform the viewer of like, this is the world that they are going to have to go through, and you're going to watch them change. Or will they change? Will they survive? Will they be able to adjust to it? And I think that's a good way to show that off in this episode and further down the series. So yeah.
I think so as we progress, do I have to, oh God damn it.
Third person too.
Third person.
As we progress in this talking of Fallout, the TV series on Amazon, what I did appreciate is the freaking music in this entire series. So I'm a huge 1940s night, and so sorry, I'm not singing because I have to like get this out, but then I will sing. When I knew that like on your Pip-Boy you could play the radio and it was like 1940s music, I was obsessed because I love this type of music and I love how they stuck to the theme of that in this entire series. In each episode, you get something, right? Like you get you what is it called? The ice shots or the something shots.
Ink
And then
shots?
Yeah, the ink spots. Thank you.
Oh,
You get
here.
the ink spots that like have some hits. You get like Nat King Cole. You get all these things, right? Like you get all of these, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it because it fit, right? Like as you're playing the game, like you can. It's like Skyrim, right? Like because it was made by the same company, where you get the music that's just constantly playing, and it's the ambiance, and I loved it.
I think some of the songs were in the game, like I
They
don't want to
were,
set the world on fire.
I was just
Yeah.
playing Fallout 4 and that played, and I was like, I get
I
this.
heard that and I was like tears, and I'm like
I think at one point they also had the loading screen music.
Oh, the please stand by. But yeah, that's one of that's great. But as we move on to episode three, remind me again, this isn't the one. Because I watched all of them, like most of them today, so I'm getting everything confused. This isn't the oh, this is the one that basically Coop captures Lucy, has her as her, as his like
First
slave.
bait, and then
And then basically we get this huge ass axolotl that fucking comes out
the
of
Goldberg.
the freaking and we get that. Oh yeah, okay, sorry. I'm thinking about the next episode, so we're gonna talk about that. So we get that. We get the fact that like Lucy is now realizing that she needs to harden up in order to survive in this wasteland. We get sort of what's going on sort of in Vault 33, Vault 32, Vault 31. We know that there's these three vaults, but Norm, who is Lucy's brother, is starting to suspect things. Was this the one where they went into Vault 32 and they found it?
Not yet. He only
No,
went in.
no,
No,
not
not
this
yet.
one.
Not he hasn't
Okay,
gotten in
thank
yet.
you.
This one is just Lucy Cooper and then Maximus with Thaddeus. So
Thaddeus. Dads, we get that. We love that. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, we get what's going on in the vault. We sort of get. What I love about this is in the Fallout games, you only get to read what happens in the vault through a computer. You don't actually get to see it in real time because it's already happened. And what I loved about this series is you see sort of these experiments being played out in real time, right? Like, and even when Lucy is asked, like, what, like, okay. Okay, well, if you haven't seen this, spoilers, whatever.
I think you're
When
going
she,
ahead.
Yeah,
You're
no, I
very
know.
ahead.
But like basically there's people in another vault that she's like, what's your experiment? And she's like, what are you talking about? There's no experiment going on here. And then you find out that there was, right? Like so we start to sort of see the machinations and the inclinations that something is going on in these vaults, in this episode. But I love this episode for multiple reasons, right? We get Maximus, who then gets a new squire, who ends up being the guy that bullied him when he was at like Brotherhood training camp, right? And then ends up finding out that Maximus is like, it's me, and he's like, what's going on? What happened to your knight? Like, what is this? And he's like, nobody needs to know. And the guy's like, yeah, fuck that, because he's a
Not
bad
yet.
person. Oh, that's not in this episode?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that happens. But basically Maximus gets his own T60 T40 suit, and he's
T60, right?
T60. Is it
T60,
60?
at 60.
It's the
And
knight suit he took.
yes,
Power
it's the one.
armor.
Yes. What did we think about the overall themes of this? I loved how that whole Coop and Lucy scene played out with the monster and like how basically like that all ended up happening. I thought this scene was also like, because when you're playing the game, you could run across these monsters and you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, how the fuck am I coming across a behemoth? And I have no idea how this happened. But I definitely love this episode. Let's start with you, Mikey. What did you think about this third episode and the
I thought it was
themes?
really good to finally see more creatures. So that was good. That was a nice little thing. It also regarding Lucy and Coop's story, I thought that it really set up that Coop is more of a a survivalist. He's like, he can do what he needs to do to survive. Whereas Lucy is about her mission and doing what she has to do. And when they two, when she gets being captured by him, he's being used as bait, it's kind of like she's still trying to figure out a way to get out of it while he still needs to get the head as well. But he's not like he just leaves it at one point, right? Well, those things they digest really slow, so I'll get back to it later. He'll figure out a way to get figure out what he has to do later on. And Lucy's still like set on her mission, and it really goes to show the personalities of the two. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the story about with Maximus getting his squire and being the one that was bullying him. And there's a point where like he kind of like he realizes that the squire is actually very didn't really hate him, but he was being bullied himself, and he was like he just took it out on Maximus. So it's kind of like it's very basic, typical of a bully. It's like bullies are usually the ones that are being bullied, so they have to find someone smaller to bully. And it's I like the idea of Maximus finding this out, and kind of like he's like he didn't really hate him, but he was like he was going through some stuff too. And so there's a little bit of part of him where he's starting to feel sympathetic to him, but he's still because he's the power armor and he's got more power, and he feels like he has to live in up to this the ideal knight. He's still kind of being a hard ass to him, and he's just you can tell that like he's power is starting to corrupt him a bit. As far as everything else going on in the episode with the vault, I think the last scene in the vault is when Lucy's brother is serving food to the prisoners. I think that's the last scene. But even then, you can see how the government, the council, is very inept at running the vault. And you can see that they have no reason to want Lucy to succeed in her mission and bring her father back because they want power. And this whole thing is about power. Maximus wants power, the council wants power, the people behind, the technology, they're craving power. It talks about how power corrupts, I mean the whole reason that they're in this is because, of the world war. People were like, were craving power, and they got to, and they blew up the world. So it's one of those things where
America.
it's like the themes are really coming together, and it's starting to go in the right direction that I think a lot of the fans of the games will realize is going into, and also people that are coming into it new are like, oh, I get where this world is. I understand what they're trying to say here, and it's really starting to gel.
Yeah, I think this was the episode where I was just like, oh, like it's if you don't get it now, you gotta get out, because I feel like this sort of put together, and it introduced sort of like the main storyline of like what Fallout is, right? Like everything that's going on, everything that's happening is because of a reason, and this was the beginning of that, right? But also I loved like the vault storyline in this, because you sort of get the suspicious like aura of like what's going on, right? Like and Lucy's brother Norm is like, yeah, this is not, something's off. Like something's off here, something is going on. Ren, let's go to you. What did you think about the themes in the oh God, Eric has redeemed hydrate again, so everybody take a drink. God, Eric.
Bye.
I
How dare you hydrate me?
Remember, sing third person.
Oh God, is my
Jeez. Oh God, I forgot. Okay, Ren, it's your turn. What did you think about this stuff?
okay. Ren thought was a little grossed out by that axolotl mutant with the fingers going in. That was weird. I can't sing that well. I'm still dying, so let me get this out. I didn't think about the Didn't think about the power struggle, like Mike, you mentioned. Ren didn't think about it. I didn't really realize how it was, because like you'd think I would notice, but like Cooper kind of talks about torture. And I'm like, oh yeah, power, huh? And I liked how he explained that torture doesn't really work. You just do it and nothing is accomplished. And it got me thinking, I'm like, hold up, yeah. Why do us as human beings have to go so hard torturing someone if you could get the answer a different way? It doesn't always result in an answer. It could result in a lie. And like, it kind of made me like think for a second. That's kind of a ugly side of humanity there, isn't it?
It's the power
Yeah. And I'm
corrupting.
like, I feel at this point you haven't figured out that Coop, well, it's pretty obvious that Cooper is the ghoul you've been watching this whole time. And it kind of like pristine cowboy, charismatic Cooper, I wouldn't say was untouched, but I would say was like not completely, it's kind of like Lucy, not completely exposed to the harshness. And then when you see him as a ghoul, and with this speech of torture, it kind of shows like, he's seen some stuff. Prior to being ghoul, he went through something. And like, I wouldn't say the outside represents now like the ugliness, but it does show like he's been scarred by what he's endured. And it almost like as he's using Lucy as bait, it's kind of almost him being like, I kind of want to get you to my level, just a little bit. I want you to see things the way I see it. Because your viewpoint is like rose-tinted still almost. And he is in that power position to sort of shatter that viewpoint, not in a nice way, as we see, but it's sort of a necessity for her to realize, how am I going to survive? I didn't think about how power was a big theme here, but they all go through that. Like Lucy is st loses the head. That was her like her ticket to see her dad. She loses her power there. And then gets kidnapped, not kidnapped, but pretty much captured by Cooper, and he's in power. And then Maximus is going through a whole power trip, being in this suit, and is now in charge of his former bully. And like later on, as you continue with the series, you see how much power truly corrupts everybody. And like, I like that Mikey, I like Ren likes that Mikey pointed that out because it was very relevant.
There you
I love that. And then last but Yaya, what did you think about these the episode three ending themes in this episode?
So Yaya has her pun first. Yaya's still thirsty, so Coop, the ghoul doesn't have to worry about going feral because Yaya's already feral for him. Yaya said, Yaya's already hella thirsty. Expect that at every stream from now on. But Yaya really thinks that this episode was a huge step. Like Ren said, like in the beginning, we actually have like Hoop have that. Because it was when he was like, you know, the like E for like front to E for mile or something like that. That part. He talks about how like I'm supposed to be the sheriff. Why would I shoot him in the head? And it has a good ju juxtaposition from what he was before to how he is now, because he is that now. He's not the sheriff anymore. He's like anti-hero. He's Batman. But like
Red Hood. He's like Red
he's
Hood.
a Red Hood.
Oh
Thank
yeah,
you.
definitely.
But yeah, like, you know, it goes from that. We see that in the beginning. He's like, why would I do this? Why, like, I'm supposed to be like the sheriff. I'm supposed to, why can't I just arrest him? He is Lucy. As you said, Ren, he is Lucy. Like, why can't I just arrest him like I normally do? And then the producer is like, oh no, like, you know, times are changing. You need, like, you know, and it reflects that. And that's why we had to give America the sheriff that what they want, which is showing that he can be pushed to that point too. And I think that is definitely foreshadowing for Lucy, especially down the season. And we see that, like, you know, now, and then we have that type of like coup, and then we have the ghoul, and they're just opposite sides of the same coin, but we just need to figure out how he gets there. And the fact that, like, you know, we also go from the beginning scene where he's riding that pony with his daughter to how did it end up? Where is his daughter? The last time we see him, he is with his daughter. What happens? We know that he, the whole alimony comments, like, he most likely divorces his wife, or his wife divorces him, but we don't know what happened.
The
And
wife.
oh, the wife, I was rooting for her. That was
Dang, I was like, I got you. Wait a second.
Yeah, no, yeah.
We
Something's
got
going
to
on here.
talk. I know. It's like, oh, I'm like, how could you do that to him? You know what? One man's trash is another man's treasure. And he's definitely my treasure. I'm so sorry.
We both know Yaya is coming to the rescue during the apocalypse to coup, so.
I'm just like, I gotta find me a nice ghoul man and to settle down with. Anyways. But yeah, no, I'm definitely really liking, like, you know, the whole idea of power and that stuff. It's very prevalent and it's very interesting. And then we go, because, like, you know, Lucy, like, he's, as Ren said, well, he's pulling her through the nitty-gritty. He's not giving her water, which we see her give water to another, like, farmer earlier. It's like, he's exactly the opposite of Lucy. And he's for and I feel like, yeah, as you said, Ren, he's forcing her. He's trying to break her. He's trying to, like, you know, like, she takes comfort in seeing, like, you know, the Fallout Boy, like the thing, and he shoots it in hand. We know why later on, but he shoots that thing. He's trying to break her. And I feel like, I don't know if that's like their mercy, or is a sadisticness. Is it, like, you know, sadism?
It could be both.
It could be both, because you know what? I like both. But oh, anyways, but yeah, so like he's trying to break her, and it's the fact that, you know, like, he taunts her, all this stuff. As I said, we're starting to see a little bit more, like, you know, fauna and like stuff. I'm still a little annoyed that that deer did not have two heads. I'm a little annoyed that that
I
deer
was
did not.
surprised. Oh, like, that's a normal deer. Where did you come from?
I'm like, where are my rat stags? Like, where's, like, you know, I like that the Brahmin had two heads. And that's it. But definitely, yeah, the Brahmin had like two heads, but I was like, everything else seemed a little, and I get it, it's probably productions. They can't constantly keep on making Fallout like canon animals, you know. But that gulper, oh my God, the fingers in them.
The fingers are awesome.
That's where their budget went. The fingers. I was like,
The
oh no.
fingers, oh my
I was like,
God.
end me right there. It's fine.
And I'm just like, and it's so different from the gulpers from like Far Harbor DLC. So I was kind of like, I was at first thrown off, and I'm like, okay. But no, this episode, I feel like it was definitely just more of like, okay, it's more, I feel personally, it was definitely more of a transition episode more. It was not anything big thing happening. We have little, it's just moving things along, but still keeping it interesting and still keeping us up with the characters. I think definitely, after this episode's where things start picking up, that we start getting a little bit more of, like, you know, characters and like their, not just their what pushes them and that stuff, but their development as well. But definitely, I really enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun, and I definitely love seeing Coop and like the rope.
I
mean, how did he get his wife? Now we know.
Oh my God, I know,
Oh,
right? I'm
yeah.
just like, and
Serious.
now he has even more like wasteland like knowledge. I'm like, please.
Man is ready.
Yaya's ready.
We just we have no idea that part's still there though.
I'm pretty. Okay, well, hold on. You can romance ghouls in Fallout 4. You can
That's true.
marry.
You can. You can
You
marry
can
a ghoul.
marry John Hancock, and you can
Yeah, you
sleep with
can.
him in the mattresses. So, and
So, yeah.
he gives town tours. He's quite popular with the ladies and the men. So I'm just like, pretty sure it's still
Ooh.
there. I feel
Season
like
two. Season two.
season. We'll find out.
And
Let's go.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just like,
MGM,
this
Amazon, season two. We
Yeah.
need to know if ghouls have their dicks. That's
Start
all we
making a
need
list
to
of
know.
stuff you want for the next
Lucy probably
season.
has daddy
We want to
issues.
know this. We want to know
Yeah.
that.
She's
She
down
needs to
to,
get
she's down,
satisfied.
she's
We want to
down.
see it.
I'm
She's
like,
trapped. Man.
she's down. So
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God.
she
I
needs
don't know.
options.
I don't ship her with the ghoul though. I don't know. I'm like a
No, no,
little,
no, no.
yeah,
It's
I'm
a
like,
funny thing, but
no.
it's like, nah, he's got to go find the family.
Yeah. I
Yeah, he's
mean,
more of a mentor
one of
to
the
me.
family, not
He
the
needs
other
his
one.
daughter. I'm like, I could be the wife.
We don't need the wife. She's
We don't,
okay.
yeah,
No,
it's like, we
it's
don't need the wife.
fine.
I
He's like,
like,
where's.
I like a
Well,
good
he's
dad
like,
figure.
where's my family? And I'm like, why?
Yeah. Oh
Like,
my
why would
God.
you want to find your wife?
What if it's like in Fallout 4 with Sean?
Oh.
So we don't know. We don't know.
I'm like, what if Betty is Barb?
Oh. And with
Oh my
that,
God.
it's been one.
Wow.
And with that, it's been wonderful and amazing to talk. We are reaching the end of our stream. It's been wonderful and amazing. Thank you, Yaya, for your thirstiness. Thank you, Mike, for your frank. You're drinking that. You're drinking that. Thank you. Oh my God, that was the. Thank you, Mikey. Thank you, Ren. Y'all have been amazing. I'm so excited to talk about the next three episodes with you next week.
Oh, yeah.
But
Yes.
before we end, please tell us where we can find y'all. Ren, where can we find you on the socials?
I'm mostly on Insta and TikTok. Right now, mostly Insta. It's underscore ghost brat. It's the
We
same
love.
for TikTok too.
Ooh, we love that. And Mikey, where can we find you?
I am at GripC47 on all socials, and you can find me on there. Yep.
Dang, okay. All socials. We love that. And Yaya, where can we find your wonderful face?
So you can find me here on Twitch at MyHamachi, where I stream Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can find me on YouTube at J Palace Yaya, where I make videos about Chinese history, culture, and all that fun stuff. And the rest of the socials, like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that fun stuff, either at J Palace Yaya or at MyHamachi.
We love it. Please follow all these wonderful individuals. They are amazing. They do awesome and wonderful things. You can find me on Instagram. I am, oh my God, what's my City of Stars 13. Wow. Don't know my own fucking handle. Clearly, I don't fucking care. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me on Instagram at City of Stars 13. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing to all platforms at Nomtalk Network. Sorry. Wherever the Nomtalk hat is like scratching me, and I'm like, stop it. But tune into our next show, which is tune into our Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind on Monday. Until then, I'm your host, Jordan Orozco, and I hope you all have a nomorific evening. Good night.